picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching to the end zone. Touchdown. What a start.
Give it to Reed, and there he goes. Nobody's going to catch him. Touchdown.
It's caught. Jeremiah Smith. Touchdown, Ohio State. The legend grows.
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Chasing the Natty. Again, Chris Moxley filling in for Jared this week. Hopefully one more week, and then you can have back the mastermind behind college fantasy. Let's kick it into gear for week. You'll look back at week six and see what we're going to see for week seven. I said last week, I don't do the spiel as well, and I really don't. But this Chasing the Natty is brought to you by Campus Camp Podcast Network, and check out everything we're doing on the site. Really, a lot of great things for college fantasy, DFS, props, betting, Campus Canton leagues, Devi leagues, etc., rankings, content, recruiting, all of that. Really cool and innovative stuff. But this week we are focusing on college fantasy. And as Chasing the Natty usually does, make sure you're liking and subscribing to the YouTube page. We're trying to go brand. We've hit some big goals over the last year or so. And I think as college fantasy grows, it's great to see other brands as well growing. And I think if the more you like, share, subscribe, the better we'll be. So week six was an interesting week. I'm going to keep my wrap up short. If you want to hear more in-depth big breakdown of the games, players, etc., check out Campus Canton podcast feed. Austin Nace did a great version of college fantasy tonight where he hit on a bunch of this stuff. But I think this was really a week where we saw who's real, who's not. We saw some of that last week, but this is, you know, a lot for a lot of teams, second week of conference play. So I feel pretty good about where we're heading in terms of expectations moving forward. We saw some big upsets. I think I'm not sure anybody really saw this UCLA Penn State game coming. There's a Drew Aller problem in Happy Valley, and there has been for quite a few years now, but that was quite the embarrassing loss for the Nittany Lions. Miami ended up beating Florida State. Florida State kicked a late field goal to cover. How good is Malachi freaking Tony, man? Like, we've been talking about him for weeks during our weekly waiver show, our star sit show. Like, he is the real deal. Freshman wide receiver there. I've been really, really impressed. And then, I mean, what were the odds that San Jose State was going to have a player who stepped in and basically gave us Nick Nash production? It felt low. It felt like we were trying to chase it, and, you know, it was just so insane that it's hard to get that each week. Danny Scudero's coming pretty darn close to that. I'm feeling really good about where we have him rest of season. I think he's easily a top three wide receiver. And he could be started with obvious confidence, but you have a stud here if you're rostering Scudero. Any other big surprising wins? Clemson finally got the offense right. I think UNC was a good team to do that against. Let's see them do it another week against a better opponent before we start anointing them as back. We did see Air Force continue to put up points, which is interesting that Air Force Navy game was 65 at the end, and Reservist Academy, that's quite a few number of points. I don't think we're starting Arch Manning, but the Arch Manning problem is once again real as well. He's really not lived up to expectations, and I'm disappointed, and I'm not sure I feel that bad for Texas fans, but you know, you really wanted to see him take a leap, especially with all the doubters. So unfortunate. Anyway, let's turn the page quickly, and we don't have to dwell on this week too long. Like I said, kick it off with what we usually do, which is the freakout scale. You know, players that we have been starting and or we're expecting to be starting coming into the season, and where we're currently at with them. And a lot of these guys are players who I thought were top three round picks, and now we're not even sure if we want to roster some of them. So first two, Deion Burks, wide receiver at Oklahoma. And how this works, and I thank you all that have been here before, I have a good understanding of it. One is a start with confidence. We're not concerned. 10 is you don't need to roster this player. Drop that fool. Anywhere in the middle is that range. So Burks, the player will go to first. And I asked Cam Skenton NIL Discord, which is our highest tier, who they want to see. And they vote. They're a little more receptive to the idea last week or this week than last week when Jared had to prod them in the right direction, but here nor there. I also reach out to Nate Marquise and Chris Kay on the CFF team, and they provide the answers as well. So I am currently CFF Jared on these charts. So if he disagrees, know that this is me and not him. I have Deion Burks at a 5. Chris has Deion Burks at a 5. Nate has him as a 7. Little concerning seeing that coming from Nate. Nate is a Oklahoma fan, and that makes me a little worried. He is more of a boom bust player. He's playing primarily outside, and now you have Michael Hawkins. You don't have John Mateer. I think there's reason to be at least a little skeptical of what the production might look like, especially this week with that game coming against Texas. The thing with Burks is that I think he's the best player in this offense. I just don't know if we're going to see, like, on a week-to-week basis, that consistency that we really, really want to see. And that's where Nate has him at 7. I have him at 5. I think you need to start looking elsewhere. Look for a backup plan. I still want to be starting him because he's quite good. It's just there's problems here. I get it. Bryson Donaldson, running back, Fresno State, is our 2nd one. Yeah, we're all pretty concerned. Nate's leaning towards benching. Kay and I are right there, basically. It's been a challenging last few weeks for Donaldson. You've been burned if you started him 3 of the last 4, and Rayshon Luke is a real, real part of this offense. So the Donaldson 30 touch games that I thought were possible, we're not really getting. And that if we're not getting that, then okay, what does that look like moving forward? And Fresno wants to run the ball. They are a defense first team. I don't think EJ Warner has been any good. So you have to assume that Donaldson is the one who is benefiting here, but he hasn't had more than 20 touches since the 2nd game of the season. He's had 14 attempts, 13 attempts, 9 attempts, 7 attempts, and some of that was game script, and some of that was just he's not getting the usage that we need. And when he has gotten usage, he's been bad. 2.8 yards per carry this week, 1.4 last week. I think you need to be sitting him. I just don't think he's startable right at this point. Let's go to our next 2 on the freakout scale. That is Oregon State running back Anthony Hankerson. And yeah, we have a problem here. This offense is horrendous. And I think we kind of knew this offense would be horrendous, but because what we've seen in the past, maybe 30 touches to a running back would alleviate some of this the lack of production for the entire offense. That really doesn't seem to be the case here. Hankerson has been honestly not good himself. He hasn't had more than 13 fantasy points since, I think, in the last 5 weeks, actually. He's getting the volume. The volume doesn't matter when you can only run for 3 yards carry. You don't have scoring opportunities because Malik Murphy is your quarterback. I don't think you have to drop him, but I'm getting pretty close. I'm holding, I think, for this week and next week. They get Wake Forest this week. I think that they might be able to score a little bit here. And I think that, you know, with the volume still being there, you don't have to totally disregard him. And then they get Lafayette, and I think he can have a big game against Lafayette. So I do think the end of season schedule holds up pretty well for him, but he has to get on track, right? He has to, we have to start seeing production, or he might be a strategic drop where you drop him and your league mate throws him to the lineup and starts getting these 4-point games. Could be a real possibility. Aljay Henderson. I've had a couple people ask about this, so I just wanted to throw him on here. I'm not worried. I'm at a 2. Kay's at a 1. Nate's at a 3. We're basically just it's Mac play. He's the best running back on the team. Buffalo with Tyquan Roberson back is a lot different team than they are with him out. And I think we're going to see more production moving forward from Henderson. If he was being usurped by somebody else, I think that it would be a bigger concern. He's just not getting the touchdowns currently. And if he was, I think we'd feel a lot differently about it. He's had 16 touches, 24 touches, 22 touches, 15 touches, 24 touches. Sorry, that's just rush attempts. Those don't include receptions. So we're still looking at a back who's getting between 25 and 30 touches a game. Not really concerned, especially as we enter MAC play and we think Buffalo is kind of decent. Nate said the highest three with a monitor, but I'm not quite there myself. So that's our freakout scale. And for those who want to participate, it's open to the NIL Discord at Campus Canton, that specific channel. And we do a lot of stuff in there, but it's, that's where you can make your request known and hopefully we can address some of the problem players that we're seeing for this season, which seem to be quite a few in recent weeks, to be honest. We're having some real issues. Let's head over to the actual waiver wire segment, which is going to be the bulk of this show and a lot of what we do each week. A couple notes before we get started. We're pretty far into the season, so it's challenging to find players who I think should still be picked up that haven't been picked up. Like the waiver wire is getting pretty bare at this point. So some of our selections are kind of, they're not bargain binny, but they kind of are. We'll talk through them and kind of see how we can navigate the wire this week though. Let's start with our traps. I just wanted to talk about Mason Heinschel, Pitt quarterback, made his debut when they benched Eli Holstein. Eli Holstein was not injured. He got benched. Against Boston College, was great, was really good. I don't know that we're going to be able to rely on that as a repeatable performance. Now, if you're in a CFF dynasty, I think we're having a different conversation, right? This is a true freshman who started, and he was a pretty low ranked. I think he's QB 43 in the composite, but he did not make the Campus Canton freshman supplemental guide. But he had fans in the industry for sure, and so this is not a player who's terrible, but I don't think that you want to be rolling out the Narduzzi starting quarterback currently with the one start under his belt and no tape on him. Like, doesn't really feel like a recipe for success here. Parker Kingston, BYU wide receiver, averaging 5 targets a game. This was his first with more than 55 yards. ADOT's like 6 yards. His role is not valuable enough. And he had the one big play for 54 yards. Outside of that, was just really more of the same that you're seeing each weekly, which is just a player that can get you like 50 to 60 or 40 to 60 yards and not really a whole lot else. Trey Spivey, I don't know how this is pronounced, but for those looking at the graphic, Arizona wide receiver, Trey Spivey, whatever. He has 12 targets in the entire season, and a 3 for 80 in one line looks good, but he doesn't play a full complement of snaps, and he's played more than 20 snaps, I think, once in all season. That's his only time he's started. They do rotate. I don't want to say that he's not getting snaps, but it's just not enough to rely on him moving forward. If you need a receiver, I'm looking elsewhere. We got a lot of receivers this week, actually. It's funny. Naeem Abdul-Rahim Gladding, the wide receiver at Old Dominion, who's been honestly kind of decent. And I hate putting him on here because I think that he's kind of borderline. I just don't think this offense can support two wide receivers, and I don't think he's the wide receiver one. I think it's Ja'Cory Thomas. So 101-3 is really hard to rely on a week-to-week basis, especially when you're going against the coastal defense that is bottom 10 in passing, like explosive passes allowed. I don't want to say he's not period worth adding because I think our opinions can change. But this is not a prolific passing offense, generally speaking. And so I don't really want to be relying on the wide receiver two here. And I still believe that that is Ja'Cory Thomas, who still had 8 targets. He only had 36 yards this week and didn't get touchdowns. But there are other players here. secondary players as well that eat into that wide receiver 2-3 spot, like Trey Brown. So avoiding him for now, but maybe just watching a little bit. And then tight end Bruin Fleischmann, Air Force. Yeah, if you watch that game, he caught a big touch, like 67-yard touchdown early, and then like had one other big pass play, and that was really it. I mean, he's just not involved in the offense, really. This offense doesn't really use the tight end outside of like goal line stuff, and while a touchdown is good, like I don't know how many touchdowns you're going to get from the goal line with Fleischmann on a week-to-week basis. Yeah, if you're in a two tight end league, I do think this a different conversation. The assumption that we're making is just pretty standard stuff, right? He's definitely worth adding in like deep release because he is getting some of the touchdown equity. Not enough usage, though, to justify, like, when the touchdown dries up, he's getting a 0 or a 1. And you don't really want to be sitting in that situation more often than not. So let's head over to quarterbacks. Some of these will be repeats from last week. And it's just me telling you, you all didn't do a good enough job. Or let me phrase it this way. Maybe you all did great, and the people who didn't listen to the show that are now behind us didn't do a good enough job adding these players. So we'll start with Liam Zarka, Air Force quarterback. Ever since he's come in to start, he's been great, like, period. Ran for 152 and 2. Last week, he's owned a 25% of the league, still not nearly high enough. His upcoming schedule is a bad UNLV defense. Wyoming, who's weird but not worried about, and then he goes and buy. But I think you're going to get a player who's startable for the next 2 weeks that you can pretty much plug and play. The passing stuff is there too, and again, he's just been ultra efficient. But if he's going to keep being ultra efficient, like on a week-to-week basis, then at some point you need to bake that into your rankings. And he has been. I mean, when you're throwing for under over 10 yards a pass and, you know, 200 plus passing a game, I don't know how long that can continue, but their defense is terrible, just like brutally, brutally bad. I mean, I can't believe some of the dudes they have in their secondary, just unbelievable. So you know that they're going to need to try to score points on a week-to-week basis. So I really think Zarka is, if you need a quarterback, the guy to go after this week. Second option is a player who's on upcoming on bye. So if you need him for this week, maybe look elsewhere, but that's Delaware quarterback Nick Minnucci. He's been great. I mean, he has rushing ability more than I gave him credit for, too. And I did not give him enough credit, to be fair. But he's had a couple rushing touchdowns. He's mobile enough. He can chuck it around the yard quite a bit. In Conference USA, they have outshined a lot of their opponents on both sides of the ball. And I worry that the defense maybe is going to prevent them from getting too many shootouts. But I do like what I've seen from Minnucci at this point, and I think you have to seriously consider starting him in quite a few leagues. The 300 yards last week were nice, and I don't know that is achievable every week, but I think 250 and then maybe a score on the ground it is, and that's a really nice floor player for a quarterback needy team. We talked about this player earlier a little bit, Tyquan Roberson, and he's only rostered in 7% of leagues, and I just think we're looking at a player that's just too low. Again, another player on bye, so if you need to look elsewhere, you can. But his upcoming schedule is really good after the bye, and they're in the MAC. It's a lot of things aligning together. So he threw for 272 and 3 last week. It was pretty good passing in terms of explosives, I should say. He wasn't very efficient. But there's upside here that is untapped with Roberson that I think is why I added him to the list this week, which is we didn't see him run at all last week. And I think as he gets healthier, that is certainly going to change because the appeal to him is that he's a running quarterback. He only had 4 rushes for a yard the previous week when he got injured, or the previous game, 3 for 7. But prior to that, 10 for 47, 9 for 88. Like, this is a player who has legit ability on the ground, and he has 25 to 30 point upside on a week-to-week basis, especially entering the MAC play. And, you know, they get Akron, Bowling Green. I messed up the order of those. He has a bye this week. He then has UMass, Akron, Bowling Green. Yeah, that'll play for sure. Those are some great matchups. So I think if you can get ahead of adding him on the bye, you might be pretty happy coming up later. Let's talk about quarterback three here, and that's Kyle Kelly. You're noticing a theme here if you've been paying attention, which is I really want to just target the Mac players. A player with, you know, I don't know how good the passing is going to be on a week-to-week basis. I really don't. Like, this floor is pretty low in terms of that, but Ball State played two Power Four teams to start the year. Purdue, who has been a little feistier than I think we gave him credit for, and Auburn, who we know has a good defense. He then played New Hampshire, UConn, and Ohio. 30 points, 24 points, 29 points. The rushing keeps him afloat quite a bit. Like, there's 15 points on the ground potentially each week coming from him. And so if you just get like a little bit of passing, you're looking at a high floor quarterback who, you know, I really think is throwing a little bit better than I thought he would. And again, we're entering MAC play. When we're entering MAC play, things get funky. His end of season schedule includes Eastern Michigan and Kent State, which two of the worst defenses in the entire country. So it might be a guy that you can rely on to help you push you into the playoffs. I've really always liked Kelly. I'm glad we're seeing him kind of get more recognition. His rostership is 7%, so he's really not owned in a lot of leagues. And where he is probably rostered by me. Or Ethan Sowers, actually. Some honorable mentions this week. The only reason that I did not include Carlos Dorio Wilson was because I included him last week, and the waiver article shouted him out. Nate Marquise handled last week. When he plays in conference play, he's great. 36, 41, 28 points. And he's been efficient. His completion percentage is almost 80%. His yards per attempt is over 10. Throwing for three plus touchdowns a game. Rushing for at least 50. One game he had 20, but he still scored a touchdown. I just think he needs to be rostered in 30%, at least 30% of leagues, which is kind of our cutoff here. So this one felt gross to add, but there's not a lot on the waiver wire this week for quarterback, so I feel like I needed to put Tucker Kilcrease on here, the Troy quarterback. I don't know. He was decent against South Alabama this week, and he has more rushing than I really ever thought he had. He ran for 100 yards. And then when they played Buffalo the week before, he ran for 50 and a touchdown. The passing's okay, like 60% completions. He's not really aggressive downfield, although this week was better than last, but he's like 22 and 30 points in back-to-back weeks. I mean, if you're desperate or in a deep league, like that's an ad that you can honestly look at making. Cale Helms, Army quarterback, another kind of interesting name who he's still splitting with Dwayne Coleman. So this is maybe throw him on your watch list and wait to see, but this is kind of his blow up game. So I think he might get added a little bit in leagues. He had 21 rush attempts, 81 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's so much better than Coleman is. At least running the ball, that I wonder if they start to switch over a little bit. They're not throwing as much as they have in the past, which is for Army like zero. Now we're at like -1. But he's an interesting name, I guess, to keep an eye on, depending on how the split moves forward. So I don't think you have to add him now, but I would at least keep an eye out on how they Mountain can start handling that quarterback situation. Joey Fagano. Fagnano. Again, he is very boom bust. I think you can have games where he plays really well and the offense is really efficient and he shines in those. He's not really much of a rusher. I mean, he could, like, if he gets lucky, break a small one, but that's just not really his game. He's far more of a pocket passer, and when that's not going, it can lead to some low floors. Like, his last 3 weeks are 38 points, 18 points, 15 points, 25 points. Now, he's attempting more than 30 passes a game. The offense has Skylar Bell, and like it's not like he doesn't have skill position players around him, but interesting name, just keep an eye on, is how I would put this. And then finally, Jalen Raynor. He's probably the most rostered out of anybody on this entire list this week. The upside is massive, right? I mean, he 43 points this week. The passing was there. The rushing was there. But the week before, he plays a worse UL Monroe team and goes for 4. points. So I don't love him in my lineup, but I do want to put him on my bench and watch him, I think, and see how he plays the rest of the season, because the upcoming schedule is really, really nice. He gets South Alabama and Georgia Southern in two of the three next weeks. UL Lafayette and App at the end. And I think he's a player that we want to be keeping an eye on for sure. It's like a lot of these honorable mentions. That's kind of how I would view this situation. Let's head over to running back. I don't want to take up too much time on quarterback here. LeSean Williams. The next 2 weeks are going to be a challenge for sure. And so I think if you're picking him up, you're more interested in the long play. We don't know when Daniel Hyshaw is coming back, and I'm not sure that's going to be anytime soon. That could be at least a month away. They are talking about it pretty seriously. Wasn't super... he was efficient this week, but he only got 12 touches. The idea here is that their RB1 for Kansas is just a really valuable player, and Williams is like clearly the RB1. The only problem here is it's been weird game scripts the last couple of weeks for them. And so, you know, he got 12 touches, but no other running, or 12 rush attempts, no other running back had any carries. The next closest was five. Nicholas running back was five, and then no other running back had carries. So obviously he's the one here. It's just, is he going to see 15? Is he going to see 20? I think we could get there. Next week is going to be tough against Texas Tech, but the schedule does lighten up quite a bit, especially if we think Daniel Hyshaw is going to be out longer term. I didn't want to put Michael Allen, Marshall running back, on here again, but I was just like, he's got to be roster. Like, what are we doing here? I made the case for him last week. The case was made in the waiver article again. The rostership has just not caught up to what I think his value is going to be the rest of the season. I mean, the last few times we've seen him, he's been a true bell cow, getting more than 20 touches, 25 touches, scoring touchdowns. His Marshall offense is like way better than anybody I think saw coming, especially with the ground and pound attack of Darrell Wilson and Allen. This is mostly just a, hey, like make sure that this guy is not slipping through waivers again this week. Cause they were on bye last week. So this is probably the last really good time to add him. And definitely a priority add for me. He's the player that I would add first of anybody in the running backs if you need one. I think the upside is pretty tremendous. I just don't want to keep harping on him and give you all new names more often than not. Running back three that we have this week is Jordan Gant, which if you had told me that, I would be putting an Akron running back on this list. I probably would not have believed you. But here we are, and the schedule is pretty nice. Miami, you can score on a little bit. Ball State, you can definitely score on. I mean, they're horrendous, and Buffalo's defense has not been as advertised. So the next 3 weeks are pretty good, and he has totally secured the backfield. They were running Marquise Williams and Cam Makin. They didn't get any touches this week. The only other running back who got a single touch was Taven Curry, and he had two. Jordan Gant had a monster week. And he did not score a touchdown, so I think you're still getting a little bit of a discount here. 176 yards and 30-plus attempts, like that'll play. I do kind of wonder if Akron's going to be competitive enough in games where he can have that workload. I tend to think yes, especially now that we're seeing him get more receiving workload too. And, you know, he had the three receptions for 28 yards on a touchdown this week. And I don't know that every week you're going to see that, but his end of season, this is a player with incredible MAC end of season schedule. Goes, after Buffalo, he's a bye. And then UMass, Kent State, Bowling Green. I think Akron's going to be competitive enough in these matchups where you're going to be able to rely on Gant in certain spots. And I think that's kind of all we're looking for at this late in the season, targeting somebody in conference play. And I realized I have the wrong picture of him. So sorry, I don't think that's who's the Ball State running back? Qua Ashley. Oh, sorry, Qua. Sorry, Jordan. Let's talk about Nate Shepherd, Duke running back. This is a really interesting situation because he's still not receiving the lion's share of carries. But he looks so much better than all the other running backs on the roster, and he's a true freshman, that I think when they go into their bye, it might change. Now, the schedule is kind of what gives me pause here, but I think that we've seen Duke's offense be really good now, and we've seen Shepherd score touchdowns, and he broke off a long touchdown late in the game to kind of make this stat line a little better than it would have been otherwise, but he's averaging 7.6 yards per carry. Castle's averaging 2.8. Castle had 10 touches. Like, at some point, they need to drop the Anderson Castle experience and like move that that workload to Shepherd a little bit. And I think we might see that happen a little bit more after the bye. That would be my guess, that they have a little bit of time to install and get make sure he's totally up to date on the offense, because he is, like I said, a true freshman. Let's do some honorable mentions. Wayne Knight is really interesting to me at James Madison. With Knight, I think that he's starting to assume RB1 workload here, and the touchdowns have been there really all season, but now he's averaging over 20 points a game the last three. 17 carries, 9 carries, 13 carries, over 6 yards per carry on the year. George Pettaway going down, I think, really opened up the possibility for him to seize a larger portion of this backfield. And I think he's done a good job with it. He's a player that I'm definitely adding in spots where I feel like I need a little bit of depth. And he's the best running back on this roster for sure. At least currently, with health permitting. The second name, and again, this is a player. A lot of these are players who are emerging or not emerging, and we're not sure what to expect, so we need to keep an eye on them. But I think Theodore Hubbard is possibly the RB1 for West Virginia at this point, and we thought it would be Ty Edwards after that game, and then we weren't sure, and now Ty Edwards has been hurt. But Theodore Hubbard had 17 rush attempts this week, and he was pretty inefficient on them, 1.9 yards per carry. The offense might not be good enough to support a running back. And that's the reality of the situation. The offense just simply might not be good enough to have a running back that you can actually start. The floor is pretty high, though. At least double-digit points. I think he's going to get 15, 20 touches, at least if the last few weeks are any indication. And then you hope that there's a touchdown in there. More of a deep league ad, I would certainly say. But if you need running backs, he's probably the guy. Dante McMillan has been on this list, I think, for like 4 straight weeks at some point. Like, I'm not sure what more people need to add him. Eastern Michigan running back. I know that it hasn't, like, if the touchdowns aren't there, there's not a lot of ceiling for him, because he doesn't, he's not going to run for like 200 yards, but that's true of almost any running back. And so when you're still seeing 4 target games, 3 target games, that's still like not a bad option. He had 29 points this week. I think this is the week where we see his rostership go over 30%, or at least pretty close to it. He's run for 533 yards already in 6 games. Like, this is a player who's obviously very heavily featured, and they rotated a little bit last week. Eastern Michigan did, but they just ran the ball so much, and McMillan was the pretty clear RB1 for the Eagles and in a close loss against Buffalo. And I think there'll be more of those games often than not where it's close enough where they can run him 20 times. And they've given him the touch opportunity to get 20 touches quite a bit. Ja'Kyle Middlebrook, again, another shout out from last week. Our expectation from early season was coming to fruition the last time we saw Middlebrook. And now that we have seen what I think the staff had kind of always wanted to do with him in conference play, this is where you add him and try to make the most of it. He was on bye this week, so if he slipped through it, he obviously did. I think you're looking at a 20-plus touch weekly in-and-out player. Again, the only reason that he and McMillan are not higher up is because we've talked about them a bunch. We want to include new names here. The last name that I think is kind of interesting is Steve Chavez Soto. And this was a player I had never heard of before. I'm kind of intrigued here. He's the running back for San Jose State. He's a true freshman. he might be the only guy, though. And when we saw him, I thought he looked kind of decent. No targets, but he went 14-71-2. Floyd Chalk is hurt. There's not really another run. Jabari Bates is not playing. There's really not a lot of options for San Jose State. And San Jose State's an offense who's continually scoring quite a few points. And so if that's going to continue, at least for the next little while, I kind of wonder if Soto might be the a beneficiary. I don't want to say the primary beneficiary, but a beneficiary of an offense that is really without a good running back they like. And I know Lamar Radcliffe got work last week. I've been way more impressed with what I saw from Chavez Soto when watching that game back. So he was turning higher successful runs on a pretty consistent basis, and he averaged over a yard per carry more. Now there's probably not going to be like a full handover, but seeing he was a true freshman gave me the idea that they probably want to keep him pretty involved moving forward. So I like the player, especially in Dynasty. I think he's an interesting ad. Let's head over to wide receivers. First one up is Keegan Johnson. And this was a player I think Jared liked a lot actually coming into the season. He's rostered in 22% of leagues. And when he's been healthy this year playing and seeing the full complement of snaps, he has been kind of lights out. He's clearly the wide receiver one for this offense. Like super, not even in question. Favorite target of Jack Lane's. He has 33 targets in his three healthy games. He's gotten over 135 in his last two. The schedule is not very daunting. Like, are you really scared of Boise? A lot of people score at Boise. Nevada you can score on. Utah State you can score on. I have been impressed with what I've seen from Johnson in his healthy games. And I was a skeptic coming in. So I think he, if you really need a receiver, can probably plug and play or pretty close to it. There's real upside here that he could be like a 20 plus point a week guy. I could see that as the season progresses, especially in the world where they don't have a lot of difficult matchups in the Mountain West. And he's already had one of his buys too, which is nice. Again, I can't keep players off if they are going to continue to not get rostered. And that is another Marshall player, DeMarcus Lacy. I talked about him last week quite a bit. I just think that he's the player who's emerged as the wide receiver one in this offense. And if I think the offense is good, which I've said quite a few times today that I do believe that, I think you need to play him. I think you need to add him at least. His monster game against Lafayette was one thing, but Old Dominion next week, Texas State the week after, bye, and then it's hard to ask for a better end-of-season schedule for Marshall in general. Coastal Carolina, JMU, kind of tough. Georgia State, App State, Georgia Southern. Those are some really dregs of defense. And I think Lacy, if he's the wide receiver one here, is going to potentially explode down the stretch. And again, a player only rostered in 5% of leagues. Like, that's pretty hard to pass up on, in my opinion. Obviously, deep leagues, that's the case. But, like, I think he could be added in really any 12-team format. And at least just put on the bench and as he we figure out what exactly his role in this Marshall offense is. But I think it's a legit role. Next wide receiver, and this is a player that I did not highlight last week, but the waiver article did, and that's Kyrie Scholes, the potential wide receiver two at San Jose State. We know Scudero is the one. We're looking for who behind him is the one to target. And Leland Smith had a touchdown this week, and so his stat line in the A looks better, but I think Scholes is at least becoming the 2A here, or 2A, 2B, and I still think those are both valuable players. 33 targets in his last four games. He's locked in as the primary outside wide receiver. ADOT is about 11.7, which helps because it's 80% catch percentage tells me that he's operating close enough to line of scrimmage where, like, that helps in PPR leagues, but he's also operating a little enough downfield where he can hit some, like, more explosives. I think that's kind of where he's operating currently. I think that he's worth an add if we think the offense is going to continue to score quite a bit, and I don't think the defense is good. Last week he had 12 targets, so this week he had 7. So his last four, again, 33. So more than 7 a game. Leland Smith is kind of about the same, but he's rostered in way more leagues. So I think you're getting a similar player with much lower rostership at 5%. Final wide receiver before we get to the honorable mentions is, it's really hard to figure out what exactly we want to do with this TCU room, because McAllister is hurt or he's not hurt, and then he has a big game, and then he's not playing, and then he has a big game. I don't know what is going on with the room on a week-to-week basis, but I do know that I believe McAllister has figured it out, and I think we can rely on him long-term. I don't know. I think the target share between Joseph Manjack and Jordan Dwyer is at best narrow, or at worst, for depending which side you're on, at worst narrowing, at best Manjack starting to take over as a second option. This has been a valuable position in the past, the slot receiver in the TCU offense, and Manjack is quietly becoming a pretty reliable target in that range for Josh Hoover. 15 points this week is not, well, I guess it kind of depends on your scoring setting. Five for 65 and 1, like, that'll play. The week before, he had 83 yards, no touchdown, but 8 targets in 3 straight weeks. And if the offense is going to be scoring 3 or 4 passing touchdowns a game, I think that variance tells me that he can get in our good graces, because he's only scored 2 touchdowns on the year, but he's had, he already has 300 yards in 5 games. So it's not like the utilization hasn't been there. I just think we're getting it more consistently now than we had been prior. And the schedule upcoming is great too. Like, just some real drags on defense of the Big 12. Try to tell you who they are, I guess, before we move on to honorable mentions for the audio listeners. Kansas State, Baylor, West Virginia in the next 3 weeks. It's hard to ask for something better than that. Wide receiver honorable mentions before we move on to tight ends. Cortez Brom, again, a player who I think should be rostered a lot more than he is. He didn't have the best week this week, which means that you can probably sneak him in still onto your roster. He's on bye this week. He only had 3 targets, but this was a Memphis game that was so out of hand so quickly that they didn't really need to rely on him, because in the previous weeks he had over 100 yards in both and 19 targets combined over the last 2. So I think Brom, given his connection to Nevada and Brendan Lewis, I think it makes sense in this to keep trying to target him in leagues. Victor Snow is an interesting case, because I think he goes as the offense goes, and if Buffalo is going to play well under Roberson, I think that Victor Snow is the primary beneficiary here. He had his best game of the year by far this week, so he's probably going to be a pretty popular ad, and he's already 25% rostered, and he's not like a name people don't know. So, but 20 targets in back-to-back, 20 targets combined in the last 2 weeks. He has 6 the week prior, but like, his usage is ramping up, and I think he's the primary option they want to go to for plays in this offense. And I think when you look at Buffalo's upcoming schedule, and we did that earlier, UMass, Akron, Bowling Green, like, those are games where I think Snow can break a couple loose, and he's definitely a player like I want to have on my bench for depth purposes in general. Like, I think that he's the type of player who I want to be adding and saying, oh, okay, if I need like 13, 14 points, like, I can throw Victor Snow in there and feel pretty good about that outcome. Oklahoma receiver Zay Setegna. It's kind of hard to figure out what this Oklahoma State or Oklahoma rotation is right now, mostly because it's it has Michael Hawkins and not John Mateer. And so what we saw this week, how real is that? And how real is the distribution prior to that? And what exactly should we expect? Because this week he was great, right? But he had 2 touchdowns, 75 yards. The week before, he was even better. He had 127 yards, 1 touchdown, 11 targets. Last 4 games, 5, 11, 9, 6 targets. I think that he's pretty quietly emerging as at least the 2 in this offense. And I again, I don't think you can start him against Texas, but South Carolina after that, maybe. Mississippi, Ole Miss after that? Maybe Tennessee. I don't know how their secondary is when you have Oklahoma and John Mateer and Arbuckle scheming it up. So I kind of want to think about getting a piece of this offense. We've had Kyle Duplessis, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name on here. He was a Delaware wide receiver. I think Jake Thaw is the wide receiver one there. And I think as Delaware starts playing conference games, like we talked about Nick Minicucci earlier, I think Thaw is the one you want to be rostering. He's missed the last few weeks. And I think that that was a reflection of, I think that's why you didn't see, that's why we were targeting Duplessis a little bit. I think Thaw is the guy moving forward here. He's got the most experience. He's a Michigan transfer. He's a really sneaky add in deep leagues currently. I think if you're in a shallow league, you maybe want to wait a little bit. You don't have to add him. He's not a priority. A player that might be a priority because he just keeps kind of doing what he's doing is Cooper Barkate. He is a Harvard wide or a transfer wide receiver from Harvard who plays for Duke currently. So it was not the Barkate game this week, but it's been the Barkate game more often than not. I mean, he had 5 for 66 and 1 this week, 4 for 72 and 2 last week. He's just constantly getting open deep and scoring. And when he's not getting open deep and scoring, they're just hitting him in the, like, he's really operating all levels of the field very well is what I should say. I think he's a pretty reliable starting player. I think you're seeing the touchdown upside that Darian Mensah and Duke's offense has. Like, Mensah's looked great, and I think that if Barkhead's going to be the wide receiver one or, at worst, wide receiver two, again, 9 targets this week, it's an offense that I want to be attaching myself to the same way that I want to be attaching myself to Oklahoma. And obviously not to the same extent, but you get the idea. Let's talk about two tight ends and then get out of here for the day. I don't really have a lot of tight ends I liked this week. I found it really difficult and challenging actually to find some tight ends. And my biggest issue, but a lot of the tight ends that needed to be picked up got picked up last week. A player that I think we can start looking at though, maybe a little bit more, is Camden Overton Howard. He is a player from the preseason that we really liked, and the targets have kind of been there, but not really. This week it kind of all worked out together. So he had 8 targets, 7 receptions, 65 yards, and a touchdown, which was by far his best outing of the season. But he had 5 targets the week prior, 2 the week before that. But then he had 6 against Memphis, 4 weeks ago. Will Water find its level here? I don't know. But if you're really desperate for a tight end option, I think you can do worse because of some of those preseason expectations. He was a star of spring camp, and he was a little injured, I believe, in fall camp. So maybe that was lingering some, but I think you can do worse than adding a player like Overton Howard, especially if you're desperate for tight end help. And some leagues he's certainly rostered, and I would just refer to our show last week too. Some of the guys that we had in there that got scooped up, and maybe they're still on your waiver wire as well. And then finally, Garrett Oakley. Oakley's kind of like a known commodity at this point. Like, we've seen him quite a few years, and like sometimes he has a big game and then disappears quite a bit. But last 3 weeks, he has 20 targets together. Like, if you're going to be averaging almost 7 targets a game as a tight end, like, I think I want to be targeting that type of player. Now, he did have his blow up week against Baylor, but he was good the week before too. He's getting utilization in the red zone. I think that's kind of the most important piece here. I think that he's also shifting into a more used piece in this offense in terms of Avery Johnson's progressions, because they don't really have anybody besides Jace Brown and Jerron Tibbs. So again, nothing about this is sexy. I have to be honest with you, but I do think that if you're desperate, these are two players that you can look to add for sure. So thank you for bearing with me on this one today. I hope Jared's back next week and can do a little bit better job of running through his spiel, running through the relationship that the Chasing the Natty family has, and I'm very thankful that you all are giving me such positive feedback and letting me take over for a couple weeks here. But you know, you can find me at ChrisMoxon19. Everything I do is at Campus to Canton. We are in the middle of the season right now, grinding through our content, and hopefully when Jerry gets back, it's more of the same. And you all take care, and we'll see you next week.